Good evening, councillors. It being the allotted time, I'll declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. I've received a message that councillor Clark is running late. Have we heard word of councillor Jeans? Is he inbound?
Haven't heard word, but he was.
Okay. Ngalakari twinji ngalak nining. Ngalakari chinija budja balwajak nyunga budja ngalak nining. Kura, kura nijie border one. This is the land of the Wadjuk Noongar people we meet on. Always was, always will be. Apologies, attendance and absences of leave. So as mentioned, Councillor Clark is on her way in. We're not sure if Councillor Jeans is. I've received no further apologies. I'd like to welcome the visitors who are in attendance with us this evening, as always, and Deputy Councillor Johnson. Leave of absence. So we've received one written application for leave of absence. What's that, sir? Did we receive that in writing from? I believe, yes, from Councillor Lorna Clark. Have you got the dates handy, Mr. CEO?
It's actually we're dealing with that on item 7.
Oh, yes, item 7. Do we have any applications for leave of absence at this stage? No. Okay. Item number 3, disclosures of interest. I've not received any disclosures of interest thus far. Do any councillors have any disclosures they wish to make at this time? No. Item 4, announcements by presiding member without discussion. You should have all received an email this week about the diligent boards. Which we've previously resolved to move to as our platform for managing our agenda item information. In that email, there will be a request for you to organise time for training so that you know how to load and log into the system. I understand Councillor Congerton has been trialling it for us.
Very good so far, Mr. Chair.
That's good to hear. I hope we all have the same smooth experience that Councillor Congerton's had. So please take the time to book in training for that. It can be downloaded onto a range of devices. I think in the training email they request that you've already downloaded it on your device before you make your booking with them. Item number 5, response to previous public questions taken on notice. So as reflected in the agenda, we received 7 questions from Ms. Bremer. Responses have been provided, and I believe those answers are outlined in detail in the agenda. Which brings us to item number 6, public question time. There does not appear to be anyone from the public in attendance this evening. Yes, 7 applications for leave of absence. So the dates for Councillor Clark were from the 18th of September through to the 22nd of September inclusive. There being no further applications, could I please have a mover and a seconder to accept, to approve the application for leave? So moved Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor Powell. Is there anyone against? That's carried unanimously. Item 8. Petitions, deputations and presentations. There are none. Item 9, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. So we've had circulated the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the 23rd of July. Were there any changes or amendments councillors wish to make to those minutes? No. Can I then have a mover and a seconder to accept the minutes for that meeting? So moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Zanino. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Item 10, questions by members, of which due notice has been given. None. Item 12, announcement of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. Sorry, I've skipped over 11. Questions by members without notice. So we have questions. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. So I wasn't sure what these sort of questions sat. So one is a question just in general for councillors, if I might. And it's I've been curious about the presentation of the reports, and I just wondered if it, yeah, perhaps we can review that at some point, I think, is a general question.
Is this the financial reports?
The agendas and also the financial reports.
All right. Sort of going to the format of them or the timeliness?
Yeah, the format.
Right.
Okay. And making them easier to read and presenting in a different way. So that's probably doesn't need an answer now, but that's a question I have in general for councillors to perhaps provide some feedback.
Sorry, and does that go to the method of delivery or
No.
The way they're written?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, is that something you wish to discuss further here or that you'd like to take up with councillors
and
staff?
No, I just didn't know where on the agenda there was an opportunity to raise that.
So this is the right time.
Cool. Thank you. Have another question to maybe for the organisation to be answered on notice or is what are we doing as an organisation or what can we do to provide recycling services for polystyrene, for solar panels, and I know we do the battery collection, but I'd like some more information on what happens to the batteries after they are collected.
Mr. CEO.
Thank you for the question, Sir Councillor. Styrofoam, actually, it's very timely that you asked the question. We put in last week a waste sorted grant application to buy some infrastructure, get funding from the state government to put styrofoam balers and get infrastructure worth about $47,000. And we would think we'll have that baler in Hazelmere. If we don't get the funding from the waste sorted grants from the state government, we'll bring it back to council, and obviously because it's an unbudgeted item, and then it will have to go through a decision process. So we're working on that. Our team in the region collects about 19,000 kilos of batteries annually. In the Perth Metro, it's about 82,000 tonnes. That's not enough to build a battery recycling facility in Western Australia, but you know, with more pieces of equipment and tools going to battery, being battery powered, obviously the battery collection will grow, and there might be an opportunity in future. Currently, these batteries are sorted and go to the East Coast. And the other one was
solar panels.
Oh, solar panels. No, we haven't looked into that, so we'll take that on notice.
Thank you. And can I ask one more question, please?
Yes, certainly.
Can I have an update, please, on how operations at Collier Road site, what you call Bay Waste, are going?
Thank you. We actually had a meeting. I didn't attend, but the chief operating officer went with the chief project officer, and to get some feedback on the operation. We were now almost 2 months in, and I believe it's going fantastic. They think it's a godsend. The customers are happy. We're getting a lot of accolades from visiting customers. There was one customer, he said, I've been coming here since I was a child for 30 years now, and I've never seen it this clean and such good customer service. What we're doing now is we're doing some financial analysis with with your technical officer and the CEO, see whether we're actually working within the set budget and whether the cost is in line with the expectations of Bay Waste. But overall, it's a win-win for everybody. So it's good for the EMRC, it's good for the community of Bayswater, and it's definitely good for the city of Bayswater as well.
Councillor Wolfe.
I think this might be a bit related to one of the Councillor Johnson's questions, but the bookmarks in the electronic copy of the agenda, they're very long, and there's about a million of them, and it's very hard to navigate. So I'm just wondering if we can somehow, I've actually rewritten mine, whether we can sort of just maybe condense them down, make them briefer headings so that's a lot easier to move around.
Yeah. And is this just working with a PDF version of the document? Okay. I'm curious how that experience differs with the new system we're moving to. I'm sure we'll all find out. Anyone who's familiar with the new system, are they able to provide some insight as to how the bookmarks work?
Well, I don't use a bookmarking system, I guess.
Okay.
I think that the issue might be, Mr. Chair, some people are using iPads, some people are using Microsoft Surface Pros and other devices. So the structure of the delivery of the program changes.
Yes. I hope, I hope these issues were addressed with the new platform that's being rolled out, and I would suggest you take the time to inquire about those technical aspects when you're getting your training for diligent boards. Any further questions? No. Right, agenda item 12, announcement of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed. There's one confidential report that will be covered in section 19 of the agenda. Item 13, business not dealt with from a previous meeting. There is none, which brings us to item 14. So we've got eight reports here, which we can move on block unless there's a desire to remove any of those items from on block. Councillor Wolfe.
Either remove them or just simply ask some questions. I don't know.
Yes, well, I'm happy to throw it open to questions on all of the 14.1 through to 14.8 at this stage. Okay. Yeah, fire away.
The first one's to do with the accounts for payment. So that's 14.1. And I'm looking at page 12. It's got for the wood waste energy, it's got Hayes Specialist Recruitment. So I'm just wondering, did we recruit some people to work on the wood waste energy?
Mr. CEO.
Thank you for the question through the chair. No, this is actually labour hire to finish off the plant. We recruited through SEEK, which was, I think, $150, some advertising. That's where we recruited the operators. But this Hayes recruitment refers to actual mechanics on to work on the plant to get it ready for commissioning, a labour hire.
Is it any relation to this item we got coming up a bit later?
No.
Just before I take any further questions too, just like to draw councillors' attention that we have some additional papers supplied by staff. One of those relates to item 14.6, just to make sure you've had a chance to familiarise with it. The other relates to item 15.2, which is further advice from the staff about the WAC committee minutes. Yes. Any further questions on reports? Councillor Wolfe.
Yeah, so this is 14.4, the purchasing policy. So I'm looking at page 61 on my page here, and I assume it's the agenda page. So this is the final version of the policy. Mm-hmm. It said tender. It's got here tender exemptions. In the following instances, public tenders are not required. And it says where it can be demonstrated that there is good reason to believe that because of the unique nature of the goods or the services required or for any other reason. I'm just wondering, demonstrated to who? To the council, to the CEO? Doesn't actually say.
Yes, no, that's a good question. Mr. CEO, have you got that page open?
Yeah.
Are you able to respond?
I'll pass that one to the CFO.
Through the chairman, it depends on the value. If it's up to you to the tender limit, 250,000 and below, that's to the CEO. And anything above the 250,000, that will be with council.
Okay. All right. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. I had a few questions, please. Sorry, if you just bear with me while I struggle with my navigation as well. So on 14.2 financial report for the period ending 30th of June 2020, I'm struggling to understand the difference between the year, the end of the year and the forecast in the income and expenditure comparisons. Can I have some explanation on that, please?
Yeah.
Because they are different, and I just thought 30th of June, that should be the same. For example, page 26 of the report, statement of comprehensive income by nature and type for June 2020. At the very bottom of the page, we have, on each left and right, we have year-to-date and we have full year, and I'm just wondering what the difference is, please, because there is a difference throughout the report.
Through the Chair, with regards to the year-to-date, those are the actual figures, so that's recognised as what has been transacted. With regards to forecast, that was actually the first time we actually did it and presented to Council was the February for the March meeting from Audit to Council, where we've highlighted the half-year review. And obviously, if there were any further updates, we'll reflect that as part of forecast. So forecast is not actual. It's just what, at that point in time, the management believes is going to be. So if you look at the numbers, actual, we didn't obviously hit the targets of the original forecast. There were some commercial contracts that we were anticipating that did not eventuate.
Okay, thank you for that. So I sort of don't quite understand, though. I mean, it's now 2.5 months after the end of the financial year, and I'm just wondering why there's such a difference between the actuals and the forecast. So when you say forecast here, this is almost like a budget variation?
Through the Chair, that's correct. It's that point in time when we did the forecast, what we anticipated for the year. So that has been the number that we've identified for the whole year. So by May, June obviously it would be actual, that's the most accurate. The forecast is just at a point in time where we anticipate what that value is going to be.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any particular line items that you wanted to drill down on further, or does that answer your question?
Kind of, not really, but I might just press on. I have another question, if I might. I've just lost my page on, so forgive me. So on page, may I have an explanation, please? On page 18, operating income variances not previously reported to council, there's a note there about contribution income, and I don't know what is included in that. Could I have some explanation, please?
Allow the Chief Financial Officer
to find that. Through the Chair, that relates to a grant that we had from the previous year that we anticipated. That's why, and that was actually a change, that was an accrual. So that's treated as a variance, and that's why that's that amount that's now towards the end of the year that's recognised for the June 30th.
So contribution income means a particular grant?
Yes, it can be grants.
I just didn't know what that was caught up in that definition. Thank you. Further on the next page, page 19, item 4, we've had lots of notes through the year that this relates to about insurance expenses, and I'm just wondering where that has landed, or if we can have an explanation, please, about that item. There's lots of ups and downs in that area.
Sure. Through the Chair, obviously with insurance expenses, we generally recognize what we the premiums is going to be. Unanticipated events are not recognized. In this instance, we had the fire back in Hazelmere back in November last year, and so those expenses are booked through the account where it's appropriate. So that variance has come through throughout the year, so you would have recognized in prior months as well.
And it says at the end, no payment has been made, no reimbursement from the insurance company has been received. Is that still an ongoing claim then?
Through the chair, that's correct, because the repairs are yet to be completed.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. With relation to... Sorry, I'll move on to another item. Item 14.3, I just note that the reports are much clearer with the graph there, so I think that's quite easy to understand. It still looks like the capital expenditure is off track as it was for the previous year. I'm just wondering, what are the big factors in that one?
Mr. CEO.
Through the chair, so we're still fixing up the budget for the capital expenditure. We know, obviously, because we have an approved budget. What we've done for the year is we actually spread out the total capex and divided into 12 blocks. So we have the same capital expenditure budgeted now, so flat line. Next month it will be adjusted, and that dotted line will be actually go a little bit up and follow the actual expenditure. And the major expense, obviously, is cell construction, which hasn't started. So it was budgeted for the first month, but it hasn't started. So it's just about the timing, and we'll adjust that dotted line. It should have a bit more movement in it.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I've got a question on 14.6 that might relate to the confidential, so I'm not sure where to park that. Is that later on?
Yes. Are we dealing with that under confidential?
Sorry, through the chair, as long as you don't identify who you can discuss methodology in general terms. Otherwise, anything specific, then we will have to go behind closed doors.
Yeah, if you would like to drill down, we can remove that report and deal with it behind closed doors at a later time.
That might be the best way to do it. Thank you. Okay. A question on 14.8. Items contained in the information bulletin, and this is my favourite part of the report because it says how much everyone's been taking up to Red Hill, which is always fun. I'm a nosy neighbour I am. But I do notice the numbers change a little bit from year to year, and I'm just wondering, obviously there's corrections that are made or amendments going back historically through those reports. I'm just wondering if the reasons for those changes could be noted on the report.
Advise the minute taker that at 6:23, Councillor Clark, and at 6:21, Councillor Jeans arrived. Sorry to interrupt, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. So I'll just repeat. For the benefit of the meeting, the question was when the numbers are changed in the information bulletin, historically, can that be noted with asterisks or explanation in the report, please?
Yep, I note the nodding head of approval from our Chief Operations Officer. We'll take that as agreement that will be provided.
Thank you. That's all.
For the benefit of councillors who have just arrived, we're up to agenda item number 14. We're just taking questions on those reports. For agenda item 14, I think we've had a request to take 14.6 out of on block to discuss behind closed doors. If there are any further questions, councillor, have on the remaining items. There does not appear to be any. If so, could I please have a mover and a seconder that we would adopt the recommendations of the reports of employees for all items 14.1 to 14.5 inclusive and 14.7 and 14.8. So moved, Councillor Johnson. Seconded, Councillor O'Connor. Is there anybody against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. Okay, which takes us to agenda item 15, reports of committees. We have the report from the Chief Executive Officer Advisory Committee and the Waste Advisory Committee meeting. Are there any questions from councillors on either of those reports? Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to pull out 15.2 so that we can move the new recommendation that was provided by the officers this evening on 11.2, which is regarding the tender for the wood waste. So pull out the WAC.
Okay. Right. So we'll deal then firstly with the CEOAC item at 15.1. So are there any further questions about the CEOAC minutes? No? Okay. So we have a recommendation. Could I please have a mover and a seconder for the CEOAC recommendation before us? Move to Councillor Johnson. Seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. So then, agenda item 15.2, which is the Waste Advisory Committee meeting held 3rd of September. Do we have any questions at this stage on that item? We've got an indication from Councillor O'Connor that there's potentially an alternative recommendation. Does anyone? Councillor Wolfe?
Questions?
Yes.
So I'm assuming you're moving the proposed from the officers, the proposal to... Yeah. So I did speak to Mr. Fitzpatrick prior to the meeting just to get some clarification about what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking back at the purchasing policy that we just passed, and there's an anti-avoidance paragraph in there. And it says the EMRC shall not enter into two or more contracts or create multiple purchase order transactions of a similar nature for the purpose of splitting the value of a purchase or contract to take the value of the purchase below a particular purchasing threshold, particularly in relation to tenders, to avoid the need to call a public tender. So I'm just wondering... if Mr. Fitzpatrick can explain it in relation to that purchasing policy.
Certainly, and I guess the question goes to the definition of a similar nature in relation to the scope of works. If the separate types of work are of a similar enough nature to be picked up by the new policy. Mr. Fitzpatrick.
Through the chair, well, we haven't split orders in that manner. We've used Petromin engineers consistently through the project as the electrical engineering consultant, and the intention is that we will keep using them up to the tender limit. For the remainder of the project, if we can. If that's unavoidable, then we'll have to go out and procure another electrical engineering consultant to finish off the required work.
Councillor Wolfe.
Okay, prior to the meeting, I mean, you were explaining that, you know, in keeping it, to try to keep it below that tender limit, we could... get someone else to do part of the work that's not reliant on the Petro min engineers, is that correct? In order to try to keep it below that limit?
That's correct, yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, in my mind it seems to be a bit against that against the purchasing policy there, the anti-avoidance thing.
Through the chair, we would go to a request for a quote. So we would go for the market. We go back to the market to find another supplier.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, because what is being discussed is a tender that's already been awarded, so it wouldn't necessarily fall within the scope of any prospective tenders, would it?
Okay, so I'll try and... maybe I've misinterpreted what he's saying. Okay. So we're getting close to this tender limit of 250,000, okay? And there's a risk that we will go over it if we stick with the Petromin engineers and let them carry out what they have to do. Is that correct? So you're suggesting to avoid that, we get someone else who aren't Petromin engineers to do some of the other work that could be done by anyone to bring that threshold down a bit. But isn't that still working on the same project? And therefore in violation,
but
aren't we splitting the thing up basically?
Well, at the heart of your question though is a hypothetical which requires a certain series of events to come to pass that have not yet come to pass. So I think if I heard the officer correctly, that there's a scope of work which may come in within budget, but should that not be the case, then additional works may be required at some point in the future. So
we're trying to keep it under that threshold prior to getting to that threshold by going to someone else, in the early stages.
Did you want to respond further at that point? Chief Financial Officer.
Through the chair, I suppose that we were being conservative initially when I look at the figures, and that said, well, pretty close to 250 if we continue on, mindful of the fact that the wood waste energy project has had some delays. Just in the being conservative, I had this discussion about with the chief project officer to say, look, should we seek an exemption in that regard? Ideally, if council would provide that comfort, because the issue we have is the remaining level of work that's to be completed. It's actually not sufficient to really go out to tender again. So that's the issue number one. And number two is if you go out to tender, there'll be project delays. And we know we want to complete this with waste energy because that involves revenue coming in. The longer you delay it, the higher that level of risk. So we were seeking initially when we put this up to true WAC was to seek the exemption. Now that the exemption wasn't given, we had a look at the remaining works, and we're not avoiding the tender threshold. We look at the scope of works, what else minor things may be appropriate to be done by other people. You can imagine Petromin actually does quite a large service that provides to us, and there are some works that within that may be better provided by smaller operators. So we are looking at that from that point of view, if we had to come to that. But we just wanted a bit of comfort in terms of the buffer, just in case that we run up to pretty close because of project delays or for whatever reason. The other element of it is, of course, the way the WEC recommendation was put forward was remaining electrical. What that means is that if we council put through the original WEC recommendation, will be effective after tonight, all work stops. We can't do anything else because that's remaining. So that's where it's come about with this alternate thing that we want to bring to council's attention.
While you're reflecting on that, Councillor O'Connor, do you have a question?
No, I was just going to provide a little bit of comment, but I'll wait till we get till I move the item. But just to flag again, I'll be moving the new recommendation from the officers.
Okay. All right. Councillor Hamilton, did you have a question?
Yes. I also had a conversation with Mr. Fitzpatrick before the meeting. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the scope of works for the existing contractor will remain intact. The feedback I got from you was that some of the sundry work could be done by an alternate contractor that is not in the original scope of works for the original tender. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct, yes.
Right, okay. Thank you for that.
All right. And Councillor James.
Yeah, through the chair. Could you just remind me that there is another contract that is also electrical, but running in parallel with this particular contract? Petromin appear to be the consultants that are overseeing the whole project, but what was the value of that other contract? When did it start? And can it be stopped or suspended for a period of time?
Chief Operating Officer.
Through the chair, the other contract is the the actual wiring up of the plant and equipment in accordance with the electrical engineering design, which has been developed by Petromin Engineers. So that contract will be carried out by a company called Inlex. That's been awarded by the contractor, Energy, EMRC will be funding a substantial portion of that. So that's about, though, they're just about to start ordering materials, and when the materials come in, they will be doing the actual wiring and connections.
Further question to that, and can they operate without Petromin Engineers? Can they complete the project without Petromin?
That's a little bit indeterminate. I mean, the electrical engineering design that's been done by PME is probably pretty. Oh, we think it's very good. If there are technical queries that arise from Inlex, the electrical contractor, then PME would be in the best place to respond to those.
Sorry, just to carry on from that, but yes, certainly PME would be in the best position rather than Petromin, because Petromin seemed to be the one pulling the project together.
PME is an abbreviation for Petromin Engineers.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so we have a number of items within the WAC committee rep minutes, 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4. So are there particular items then that councillors wish to pull out and have move alternative recommendations to at this stage?
Just Councillor O'Connor.
Okay, we have 11.2. Right, so we have the proposed alternate recommendation. Do all councillors have that before them? Okay, so the alternate recommendation then has been moved by Councillor O'Connor. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? Okay, there being no one against, I declare that carried. Which then brings us back to the balance of the Waste Advisory Committee meeting reports. So if I could have a mover then, moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor O'Connor. Is there anyone that wishes to speak against? No, I declare that carried unanimously. Which then brings us to agenda item 16, reports from delegates. There's none that I'm aware of. Councillor Johnson, have you had any? further meetings in your representative role you wish to report back on?
Sorry, it all moves so quickly, doesn't it? Thank you for the opportunity sending me along to the MWAC meetings, Municipal Waste Advisory Group, it's a Welga mob. I'm just pulling up, sorry, my notes on that. The minutes for that previous meeting was held around the end of August sometime, 26th of August, will be sent out to you all soon. At this meeting, they passed a budget for the year that can include some more bin tagging that our Welga is funding around the place. So that's folk who go along and peer in your bins and put a sticker on them if they're yucky. So that program has been funded through Waste Authority grants, understand. So that's good for the area or for the sector. I don't know if that's going to be happening in our region. Necessarily, the group looked at putting together a group, an advisory group on waste and demolition, construction and demolition materials, and there's lots of commentary and conversations about the issues that has in the area. There's also a bit of talk about the report from the Auditor General on waste services in our region. If you urge you to have a look at that, the Welga is providing a response to that. So I guess if anyone had any particular comments on that, that would be good. Bunbury Harvey got a special mention for being the only council who's doing really awesome, the only area that's doing really awesome in their waste collections. The rest of us have all got a bit of a way to go, is the summary of that report. But now we're all setting up waste. I think we'll see later on in our agenda as well. We're doing waste plans, and so hopefully we'll get better on track at doing that. The Welga is making a submission on battery recycling in Collie, so I don't know how that will go. And there's been a bit of an ongoing discussion about junk mail, not the most massive issue, but I think it was worthy of note that crappy paper that they print those catalogues on has a negative value, so it costs the recycling sector money to get rid of all those bits that end up in your letterbox. Then you know, some back of the envelope calculations where it's costing millions and millions to dispose of them. So there's been a bit of an ongoing project about junk mail, and that's something that we can all do in our own neighbourhoods. Anything else? I'll update later on.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Agenda item 17, members' motions, of which notice has been given. There's none that I'm aware of. No. Agenda item 18, new business of an urgent nature. I've received none. Agenda item 19, confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So we have report 14.6 that we pulled out from on block. And we also have agenda item 19.1, Waste Advisory Committee minutes. Is that the only two items? Yes. All right, if I could please have a mover and a seconder to go behind closed doors. Move to Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor Powell. Is there anyone? Sorry, was that a question, Councillor Powell? No, you're good? Okay. Anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. Could we please close the doors and switch off the recording? And switch on the recording device. Which brings us to item number 20, future meetings of council. We have dates set out in the agenda. Please take note of those for your diary. And item 21, I declare the meeting closed at 6:52 p.m.